The latest on economic, financial, and trade policy as the Trump team coalesces. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. President-elect Trump has picked billionaire activist investor Carl Icahn to give advice on overhauling federal regulations, and economist Peter Navarro, a vocal critic of U.S.-China trade policy, will run a new National Trade Council that Mr. Trump is planning to set up in the executive branch. Joining us live from Washington is our Kimberly Adams. Let's start with Mr. Icahn, famous for corporate takeover deals. Kimberly, what will he bring to the Trump White House?
So similar to Trump's picks for the EPA and the Department of Energy, in Carl Icahn, President-elect Trump has somebody who's going to back him in his plan to downsize the role of government. Icahn's title will be Special Advisor to the President on Regulatory Reform, which isn't a formal job in the White House, but Icahn does, as you said, have decades of experience on Wall Street and dealing with federal regulations, and Trump apparently wants that experience to help keep campaign promises to significantly roll back regulations, including Wall Street regulations.
And we have University of California economist Peter Navarro is going to head up this new National Trade Council. Why did Mr. Trump choose him in particular?
So in addition to being a part of the Trump team for a while since back in the campaign, Navarro's area of expertise matches right up with some of Trump's favorite campaign talking points, trade and China. Navarro has written two books harshly criticizing U.S. trade deals with China, including one called Death by China, and generally argues that China is eroding American manufacturing and taking jobs. Also, this idea of a trade council is interesting because it looks like the Trump team is working around the office of U.S. Trade Representative, which currently negotiates deals. So it'll be interesting to see how and if these teams even work together.
All right. Quickly, other transition matters, possible conflicts of interest, concerns that Mr. Trump's sons might be seen as selling access to the president-elect.
Yeah, David, it was an interesting story. Two of Trump's sons were on the board of a charity that was offering access to Trump and hunting trips with the son in exchange for donations of up to $1 million, a story the transition team quickly distanced itself from, and now the Trump sons' names are no longer on this offer.
All right, on this offer. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Thank you. Checking markets. The FTSE in London is up. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are reached down 0.1%. Now, if politics is really about apportioning resources, that is to say, who gets the money, there's a lot of change coming this next year. Help us explain, explore, and elucidate these stories as only my crew here at Marketplace can. I'm here to ask you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Help us keep it coming to you. It would be especially helpful to us if you donate at Marketplace.org by December 31st. The trend lines indicate it's the biggest day this year for delivering packages, 30 million destined for doorsteps today in America. I wanted to send you something, but doggone it, I missed the deadline. So your gift is coming via radio here. Three books that I found heartening during these short, dark days. Yesterday, the hippie doctor who wiped out smallpox. Today, the guy who gave away his inheritance as a young man. Chuck Collins is senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies who has carefully studied income inequality. But behind the wonk exterior, there's quite a guy. His book is called Born on Third Base. A one percenter makes the case for tackling inequalities, bringing wealth home, and committing to the common good. And he joins us from Boston. Morning, Chuck.
Great to be with you, David. Thanks.
We have talked before about matters of policy, but I had no idea before I read the book. You were a rich kid?
Yep, I grew up in a wealthy family, and in my early 20s, my first real job was helping these mobile home tenants, and I started to have this front row seat into what was happening with low-wage workers. At the same time, I was watching the wealth in my name double every couple of years, and just something was wrong with that for me, and I made a decision to give away the wealth that I had when I was 26.
You've thought a lot about this issue of income inequality, and in your book, you want wealthier people to, I mean, I'll use your words, bring their wealth home. Explain what you mean by bringing it home.
I argue that these inequalities undermine the quality of life for everybody. So my message to wealthy people is bring the wealth home. Take it out of the offshore tax havens and the sort of global financial casino and have a stake in helping the whole society make this transition to the economy of the future.
I mean, you use a strong term. I've heard it before, but there it is in your book, economic apartheid.
Yeah, if you think about where it is we're going, if we keep on track, both in terms of sort of growing wealth and income inequality, 20 years from now, we will be a racial and economic apartheid society. That is not in anyone's interests. The idea is we wealthy people withdraw to enclaves of sort of private paradises. But if you put these extreme inequalities together with the ecological crisis, there's no wall you can build big enough. The only solution is to kind of re-engage and fix the future and build a more equitable society.
Now, this topic is going to be controversial among some, if not many, in our audience. You worry that charity, philanthropy, can make things worse?
The goal of philanthropy should be to address the underlying problems in our society, not compound them. And so when people give donations, for instance, to public school foundations in affluent school districts or to private schools, the rest of us chip in effectively. You know, when a billionaire gives a dollar, we chip in 40 to 50 cents in terms of lost tax revenue that could be used. So the underlying point is that charity is not a substitute for an adequately funded public sector, which is what really creates the infrastructure and really addresses the deep inequality problems in our society.
So, Chuck, I failed to ask one thing, which is, it's in the book, so I feel comfortable asking about it. Where did your family wealth come from? I think it's interesting.
My great-grandfather was the meatpacker Oscar Mayer. If you see the Wienermobile on the highway and it has a "we have to reduce inequality" bumper sticker, that's me.
Right. Chuck Collins is a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. The book is called Born on Third Base, a One Percenter Makes the Case for Tackling Inequalities, Bringing Wealth Home, and Committing to the Common Good. Chuck Collins, thank you for this.
Thank you, David.
I said to him, he must be an Oscar Mayer winner. He didn't laugh all that hard. Tomorrow, let's open another gift together, a new book on research suggesting that rest or even just zoning out is just as important as work. Marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.